Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome to Moose Podcast number 374. And then came winter. Or I could just simply say, ho, 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 hey, guys. Hey, season's greetings. Yes. Coming down to the, I can't believe this, last month of the year already. I want to thank you for sticking around and giving me some of your precious time. I'm really grateful, which is why we keep doing these Moose podcasts. Some people say podcasts are on their way out, but I've heard that about so many things in this profession, which haven't come true. So I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere, and I appreciate you being part of the journey. Hey, we're doing a podcast again using Adobe Beta. Once again, you will find the transcript on the podcast blog post there on the website. I know it gets used. I keep seeing the numbers slowly creep up on the downloads, so I'm glad that it is helping, even though it's not really perfect. Well, so what's new? Hey, lots of great rumors out there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this end of the year. All I can say is, you want to keep up with my Twitter feed and the website this next month. There might be some great stuff coming out you might want to know about. Great other source for that is my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com, home of the Moose discount. They've got some amazing Nikon holiday specials going on. And that'd be for, of course, you, right? You can always be your own best Santa. They have an incredible inventory of used gear, which you want to get somebody into photography. That's a really great way of doing it. It's not a budget buster. You can get really some seriously great gear at a substantial savings. They're at Bedford, so you know they're going to take care of you. And hey, I can't rave enough about their photography socks. I'm here to tell you, you need a stocking stuffer for your favorite photographer. Bedford's Photography Socks. I'm here to tell you, hint, 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 all those of my family who are listening. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So Bedford's, great service, great prices, inventory, socks, home of the Moose discount. Hey, Bedford's, thanks so much for sponsoring the Moose podcast. Well, I'll get into this week's episode. And then came winter. Yeah, this wasn't really a stretch to come up with this one because just came home from Arizona and it was dirt everywhere. And this morning there's 2 inches of snow everywhere. So then came winter. Now with winter comes a whole lot of great photographic opportunities. Also some great challenges and serious, possible personal risks. We can minimize or negate all of those by just doing a little simple thinking and moving through. So let's start with some of the basics. You see that snow, and we know that snow is made up of water, right? That's frozen, partially frozen. But the actual air is incredibly dry when there's snow on the ground. So one of the first things you need to make sure you do when you are in a snowy world is you drink lots of fluids. Getting dehydrated, believe it or not, is a real possibility and happens to folks quite a bit in the wintertime. So you want to keep the fluids going. What's next? Well, this sounds silly, and all I can tell you is from personal experience, but when it gets dry out in the wintertime, your skin dries out. And when your skin dries out, it flakes. Well, yes, simple hand lotion takes care of that issue. But why does it have to do anything about photography? Well, have you ever tried to clean your camera sensor when your skin is flaking? Every time you blow, if that wind that you're using to blow off that sensor hits that skin, guess what hits the sensor in the mirror box? Your dry skin cells. I'm not trying to creep anybody out. I'm just trying to be practical. And just knowing from personal experience, I could not figure out this has been a number of years, why I couldn't get it clean. And then I realized It was my skin. So when I'm about to clean my camera sensor, often I will go and wash my hands, not just because I want them clean, but I just want any of those extra dry skin cells that might pop off and go in the mirror box. I know there's no more mirror box anymore, but what else are you going to call it? The sensor box? That's not quite accurate either. Anyway, I don't want that dry skin going in there. So simple, getting your hands damp before you clean that sensor can keep those dry skin cells from popping off and causing you to just keep cleaning when you could prevent it. So, yeah, that's what I want to talk about. And then came winter. These some of the things we haven't thought about for probably 12 months. I mean, another really obvious one is, believe it or not, heat shimmer. Yeah, heat shimmer is a real issue in the wintertime, especially when there's just the slightest hint of warming. Because what is heat shimmer? It's actually, we're seeing evaporation, transpiration, either from surface or from plants, of moisture going back up into the atmosphere. And that's what creates the heat shimmer, that if you have heat shimmer, no matter what you do, no matter what AI process you got, magical lens, whatever you think you might have, heat shimmer is going to cause things to be out of focus, period. End of statement, that's it. You're done. You're toast. Time to go back in for that hot toddy. So you got to be able to recognize and deal with heat shimmer. And you deal with it by not shooting. Now, it is not the most obvious, easy thing to see, especially in the wintertime. The first hint that you're going to have that you've got heat shimmer issues is the camera won't focus. Yeah, it's that simple. The camera will go back and forth, and it just will say, yeah, I can't focus. That's your first sign that you've got heat shimmer. So now, does it mean you're toast? If a slight breeze comes up, that can alleviate heat shimmer. If the sun goes behind a cloud and the air temperature goes down a little bit, that can alleviate heat shimmer. But if those things don't happen, you've got to realize that that's just a sign, time to stop shooting. Another big part of winter that seems to come up comes back from the 1970s and 1980s. Really old philosophy. And that is, when you see snow on the ground, automatically overexposed by one full stop. And back in the day, when you had CDS cells and other things, yes, that might have been a good starting point. But here to tell you, that's not what you want to do majority of the time when you go out shooting. You don't automatically do anything when you go shooting other than having fun. Fun has to be automatic. It has to be, that has to happen all the time you're shooting. So fun, that's always got to be there. Exposure compensation for something? No, that doesn't. Now, how do you know when you should or should not put in exposure compensation when you're shooting snow? Well, keep in mind that snow, okay, is going to be on the ground majority of the time, and the majority of the time it's going to be bouncing light up into the subject. Okay, so there's your first thing. What is the subject? If the snow itself is your subject, then you might need to consider exposure compensation because you want to deal with and see the detail in that snow. Keep in mind, though, that people who live in the desert who've never seen snow in their life, when they see white stuff on the ground in a photograph, they know, without having experienced it, it's snow. So if they know it's snow, yeah, I could go on with this rhyme forever, but I won't, then you don't have to show detail in it. So the first part is, A, what is the subject? The subject is anything but the snow. Exposure compensation, there's nothing automatic about it. Two, if the snow is the subject and you want detail, you might actually not go plus, you might go minus. So you've got to, like with any photograph, when it comes to exposure, and exposure for me equals emotion, something that it seems to have been lost over the last year. I haven't said it very much, but it's important to understand exposure equals emotion. then you're going to dial exposure compensation, and only then. Now, when I say dialing exposure compensation, you have to understand that I'm talking about working aperture priority. If you're shooting manual mode from the 1930s, then exposure compensation won't get you anywhere. If you have a modern computer, which is going to work faster and more accurate than we can, and we are looking at telling stories with light, you'll be an aperture priority, and you'll be using exposure compensation. Now, I have already received a couple emails, thank you guys, excuse me, asking about my annual glove post. Well, believe it or not, gloves are just now getting on the shelves, and I just started thinking about needing to get into REI, my favorite glove addiction center. I go in there every time. I go, hi, I'm Moose, I'm a glove addict. They know who I am. So I haven't actually test drove or seen what's new in glove technology this year. I will be doing that here shortly as I start doing more and more Christmas shopping. With that said, I do have my glove posters up from earlier this year, as in like 11 months ago, which is still very valid and gives you the basics. One thing that I won't be changing, I will always have my Trapper mittens. Those are just phenomenal. And as one person asked, and I appreciate, Al, you're being so a longtime listener, watcher, and observer of my stuff. Yes, Al asked, did I try the Trapper mittens with my new Z600 F4 TC lens? Yes, I sure did. And yes, it works beautifully. So, that is a big part of, you know, when you go and buy gloves, you need, one, you need to have some dexterity. Two, you need to be able to have to deal with function buttons. Three, have a secure hold on the gear. And of course, you've got to be able to keep your digits warm. Now, as some of us get older, not that I'm looking in the mirror right now, things like arthritis start to, affect the way digits work. No nice way of saying it. And so gloves are kind of two functions. One is literally to keep things warm, and two is to keep some digits with arthritis functioning. With that said, there are more and more gloves coming out with pouches on them. And those pouches can hold heater packs, or what I prefer to use anymore are the electronic rechargeable hand warmers that, they just put them in your coat pocket. You can put them in this back sleeve of a glove. All those things just work killer, killer, killer to alleviate some of the stiffness that comes from arthritis. And all this stuff you need to practice before you actually get out. Now, it's not like you can go buy gloves and then go stick your hand in a freezer and see if things work, but you need to go into the store, and you might go with a camera on your shoulder and see if you can function and operate the camera with the gloves on. It's a simple thing, but it can make a difference. So long answer short, yes, the annual glove post will be coming out. Not there quite yet. One thing I do want to mention, though, that I think is really important that we kind of not give much thought to, is that the process of going out and photographing in winter, you know, if you're photographing rocks and trees and stuff, your presence really isn't going to make that big a difference. Though there are a number of fragile areas that when you compress that snow, what's underneath it, I'm thinking about things like the tundra and stuff, that gets compressed and then it's damaged forever. But I'm actually thinking about critters. You know, winter is a very stressful time for critters in general. They're working hard just to survive, and not just survive, but come back out of winter in a way that they can reproduce and create the next generation. Stressing critters in the winter is something that you just can't do. Let's go with a classic example, the American bison. You know, there are those guys, they are literally made to survive in winter. They have that big hump so that head can sway back and forth, and it can just plow through the deepest, hardest, crustiest snow to get down to, yum, those dried out brown grasses. But those brown grasses is what they survive on. Now, bison are pretty smart. I know they don't look it, but they actually are. So one of the classic examples is in Yellowstone, where the bison love to use the roads that are plowed by the Park Service for the snow coaches and the sleds, because it's a whole lot easier for them to get from point A to point B on that hard-packed open snow compared to trudging through freshly fallen snow. It's a simple example of, you know, avoiding stress so they're not burning extra calories so they can survive to the other side of winter. And this goes for lots of different critters. Now, if you are in any area that has snow, like in the Sierras where I used to live, or in Montana or New York, or many places where you've got snow on the ground, this time of year, keep in mind that probably more than seed, that free water is just essential for these critters to survive through winter. And free water is just basically a biological term for open water. We have noticed, and it was kind of interesting, two of our neighbors who had horses, they don't have horses at the moment. I don't know if they took them somewhere else, but their water troughs seem to have, they're not filling them. And because of that, we've got all these deer coming to our water feature, and they've carved, which wasn't there just 30 days ago, this path to this one corner of the water feature that they are just, that actually you can see the water level go down because they're consuming so much water. So we have three sources of water that have water heaters. They're not like making it boil. They're just keeping the water from freezing, and the birds line up. And this year, the mammals are too. So that's another thing that you could do as winter comes on to attract these critters to your perches to photograph them. At the same time, help them through the stress of winter. What else? Well, God, there's so much. There is your feet. And last year, Costco had electronic socks on sale, which I had never considered before. And then they came, and oh, they're really nice. There is my favorite Carhartt jacket. I know it's called the Montana, but that's just coincidence, which is just over $100, which is a phenomenally beautiful, warm jacket that is out there. There's fleece-lined pants that can help you keep warm. Keep in mind that if you're going out and you need to stay warm, that extra 500-calorie boost that your body can burn off will keep you warmer. You know, when your stomach is working, be it hot chocolate or a simple candy bar, you will stay warmer. So keep that in mind. The list goes on and on. I just wanted you to start thinking about it. There's a lot of resources there at moosepeterson.com about shooting in the wintertime. This is just a quick primer to get you up and going, because you know what? Then came winter. You folks have an absolute marvelous week. Thanks so much for stopping by. And remember to make every click your story.